Oh, yes. We're back. March Madness time. Brad, get that harp horn. Let's go.
Just slightly ahead of schedule, Micah, but not too bad. Not too bad.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brad. Hello. This is Backdoor Cover. I'm Micah. That's Brad. Welcome back to the podcast. We haven't been back since the Super Bowl, but we are here as March Madness is upon us. The Masters are 2 weeks away. Just checking in. Brad, how have you been?
Whew. It's been a wild couple of weeks, Micah. I've been highly invested in PGA Tour golf, watching both of Scotty's wins the last 2 weeks here. I actually had money on the runner up this weekend, so which he lipped out on a putt. Anyways, in the Players Championship, so I've been watching a lot of golf actually, and just trying to get myself up to speed on all this college basketball stuff, which has been the other daunting task that I've been tackling. So, what have you been up to, Micah? Tell us. The most important thing here is for you to recap the St. Paddy's Day rager that you threw on Saturday.
Yeah, we had fun.
Big
we
time.
Had a lot of fun.
I've never seen so many children before at an adult party. There was like maybe 40 kids that were under the age of 5.
Yeah, my wife came up with 86 total people, and I think probably half of them were children.
It was good. It was a good mix.
We had fun. The margarita machine that I purchased did not work.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
But you know what, Micah? Margaritas aren't for St. Patrick's Day. And you did have like Jameson Jello shots. You had an abundance of pizza, which I took a whole large pepperoni pizza home with me. I think that's the coolest thing that's ever happened at a party for me, is walking out
the
door.
That's the best party favor you've ever gotten.
And it's not like just regular pepperonis. These are giant pepperonis on this pizza. Took it home.
Yeah, big shouts to the Pizza Cave.
Yeah, I knocked that bad boy down that night. So excellent party favor takeaway all around. Great A++ party, Micah.
Thank you, Brad. I have a freezer full of leftover pizza as well.
We got to see the old touching base guys. Was great to touch base. Lots
we
of good
circled
stuff.
Back.
Yeah, we circled back.
Yeah, it was fun. Some neighbors, it was a good time. It's a good time. And now I am a man. I'm 40.
Oh boy. I didn't know if you were going to bring it up because I'm about to be a man in 40 on Friday.
Yeah. Congratulations to you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of kids growing up in Westlake don't make it to 40. So you and I are pretty lucky.
Yeah. And, these mean streets out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Yeah, it should be. We're very excited for your pizza party on Saturday.
Micah, you know, it's kind of funny. This is the first year that we didn't have a joint birthday party, and it took us being 40 years old to become full-grown adults to have our own individual parties. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, this probably would have been the year to do it together. But, you know, what are you going to do? Hello. This is Backdoor Cover. This is nominally a sports podcast, but Brad and I, you know, we don't get to chat too often. But had a good time over the weekend, and March Madness starts tomorrow. How excited are you?
I'm super excited, Micah. I don't know how excited you are, but what answer did you expect coming from me? It's just the best time of year. It's the best time to neglect work and just veg out and watch so much sports you can't even barely digest it all. So I'm pumped.
No doubt. And I am, I too am quite excited. I think it's going to be a fun tournament. I don't know 5 players in college basketball that are in this tournament, but you know, it should be fun still. We should see some upsets. We'll see a lot of 3-pointers. We'll see a lot of missed threes. We'll see a lot of turnovers. We'll see some steals. It should be fun.
Those are all facts.
It's always fun.
Mike, I don't know how far you are into the bracket filling out whatever exercise, but I think you're much like me in that there are certain programs that you have, you feel whatever, petty disdain for, and that will influence how your bracket is shaped. And I'm finding all the narratives to back me up to have Kansas lose early, to have Duke's soft ass Duke lose early. I don't need to know who the players are. I know those programs stink and I don't want anything to do with them. So I'm putting together the most biased bracket of all time as we speak.
I am too. I put together 2 brackets, one that I really like and then one that's a little more analytical.
Oh, a nerd bracket. So you got a bunch of ones up in the
bracket.
Top?
No, I've got some.
What do the analytics say, Micah? Should we go through this bracket, or how you want to go about doing this?
Sure. Yeah, we could talk through this one. Let me pull it up here.
I'm pretty curious to hear about your analytics bracket here.
Yeah. Well, it's.
Did you use Mitch's algorithm?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Good to know.
This is the It Micah Picks 1.
Oh.
On ESPN.
Is this part of the Micah's Big Board family of products?
Something along those lines.
Micah has an excellent draft big board for fantasy football that he gets made fun of yearly about. So this can go in that same category perfectly.
This one comes from Neil Greenberg is his name. He is a writer for the Washington Post.
Nice.
And last year he got 6 of the 8 Final Four teams, and he had San Diego State going all the way to the championship.
Jesus.
So he probably knows what he's doing.
Yeah, last year was crazy too.
Yes. Yes. So my Final Four is Auburn, Arizona, Duke, and Texas.
Wow. Wowie wee woo. That's your analytics bracket?
That's the analytics bracket. I have Auburn winning the championship.
Wow. So there's a few small things that I'll point out here before we get into this. Every year I take Arizona to go deep, and I'm pretty sure I'm cursing them. And I filled out my bracket, and I've got them in the Final Four, and I think what I need to do here is just pull them on out and just do all the Arizona faithful a favor and not curse them for the 12th year consecutively. So I'm thinking about that. But I really like Creighton this year. And I really like, well, everybody really likes UConn and Houston. It's hard not to like those two, number one and number two. But yeah, that was my big thing here. I think I need to do something to help Arizona out here because they have been cursed by me every year since like 08. So we'll see. I think I'm going to think
in the bracket that I filled out, I have Houston winning it all. I have them joined by Tennessee, a 2 seed, Auburn, a 4 seed, and St. Mary's, 5 seed.
Yeah, I've got, so that's
I
where
love
I'm
St.
at
Mary's.
With St. Mary's. I've got St. Mary's versus Arizona right now, but I think I might just go ahead and pop in New Mexico there. New Mexico upsetting Arizona so that I've got St. Mary's, New Mexico. Is it Patino's son coaching New Mexico? If I remember correctly, there's some pretty good storylines in here with lineage, coaching lineage, and that kind of stuff. So,
I do not know.
Let's see.
People like New Mexico. I like them to win a game, but get beat by Baylor in the second round. You know, it should be a great tournament. Who do you have winning it all, Brad?
I'm still deciding. I want to pick Houston, but I know that that's the lamest. So I just need to think on all the way through this. Richard Pitino is New Mexico's head coach, so just FYI. But yeah, I like Houston a lot, even though they put up like 20 points in the Big 12 tournament versus Iowa State, which was shocking to say the least. My favorite thing about, or at least the thing I like to hang my hat on, is premier guard play, and I think that Houston's got arguably the best point guard in the country. So
they
that's
do.
Why I kind of like
great
them.
Guard play.
And that's the thing that's kind of gone into my choices throughout this bracket. Kentucky's led by 3 freshman phenom point guards. I think that leads to inconsistency. Duke's got a freshman point guard. Things like that where I'm looking for kind of the youth to cost these teams. I want to see some longstanding tenure here. I want to see some year 4, year 5 college basketball players who put in the work and whatever, get through to the end. I want to see this NIL shit kind of go backwards, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that.
I wouldn't either. Usually talent wins.
It does. It does. And experience is always a wonderful thing in these environments. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
So how about we do it like this? Let's go through each region and in the first round, let's call out our big upsets or whatever, some big upsets that we see, unless you've got a better way you want to go about going through this bracket.
Yeah. No,
I think
that sounds good.
Like
when we start in the top left, that's the East bracket.
Mm-hmm. I got
who
a lot
you,
of
who
I got
do you
chalk
like
up
coming
top.
Out of there.
I like Northwestern to beat FAU, although that's a bit controversial than UConn to advance. I know you like Auburn up there beating Yale. I like San Diego State okay here. So I think San Diego State, Auburn in the second round. BYU is a team that I'm going to ride. I'm going to ride them all the way into the Sweet 16. So I've got them beating Illinois in the second round. I've got Drake beating Washington State, and I've got Iowa State going
Drake.
All the way. Drake. Drake's supposed to be real good, man. So I've got Iowa State, UConn coming out of that region. One and okay. two. How nice
I
is that?
I think we're pretty similar there. I've got Auburn knocking off right. UConn.
I like that.
And then beating Iowa State. But I like Iowa State. I'm pretty chalky there in the east. Moving to the south in the top right corner. Excuse me. Houston. I like James Madison.
Yeah, here. I was waiting to hear about this. How do you feel about James Madison versus Wisconsin here?
James Madison is 31-3. They shoot a lot of threes. They make a lot of threes. They defend the three well. They don't turn the ball over, and they force turnovers. They're good. I've watched them play. They beat Michigan State on the road at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
I like James Madison to beat Wisconsin and Duke in the second round.
See, I've got Wisconsin beating JMU, and then I've got Wisconsin beating Duke. So the two of us are in lockstep in terms of Duke going down in the second round. Should be interesting. Wisconsin kind of caught fire in the Big Ten tournament, I believe. I like that squad. I like them coming in with some momentum. That's the reason for me picking them. I liked James Madison, but then that gave me a chance that Duke might not beat James Madison. I think Wisconsin has a better shot. So there's my bias, my petty bias. I hate Duke, man. I hate them so much. I hate the Filipowski guy too. Did you see in the middle of the year when I think it was Wake Forest stormed the court and he like flopped and tried to push the kid down? He's such a little bitch. So if that's your focal point of your offense and program, and you're already soft and sorry to begin with being Duke, good riddance. Get out of my bracket, bro. So I'm sending him home packing there in the second round. I really wanted to take NC State over Tech, but I couldn't do it. I like that NC State team. They got that big fat guy. Center that plays for NC State that made a name for himself in the ACC tournament. I don't have a whole lot of upsets in this part of the bracket other than I think Colorado beats Florida in the first round, and then they'd have to also beat Boise tonight in the play-in. I like Colorado, though. I think they've got some pieces.
Well, statistically, somebody from the play-in always wins. So
that's my one.
You know, that's the one that you like. I like NC State. I like Kentucky a lot. I also like Marquette here, but I like Kentucky and Houston. So pretty chalky.
Yeah, I like Marquette.
And I like Houston.
And it's a risky proposition. Their best player, I think he's a point guard, but he's been out since like January with an oblique, and they're saying he's coming back Friday. So I'm hitching my horse to a potentially rusty player here, but I'm still going to do it.
I love it.
Yep.
Let's go down to the Midwest and the bottom right.
All right.
This is the Purdue region. I don't have much here. I like McNeese.
Uh-oh.
No longer McNeese State, I believe, over Gonzaga.
Did they just do like a Texas State rebrand?
I think so.
Yeah. And nice.
I also like McNeese to beat Kansas in round two. How's that?
Eat that, Kansas.
Bye-bye, Beakers.
So I've got TCU beating Utah State, and then I got TCU beating Purdue.
Okay.
A little dangerous. I mean, Purdue, I hope they don't flop again this year after last year's whatever one-seed flame out. But I don't trust them, and I think TCU could come in and bang some threes home, cause some problems for them. I've got Gonzaga beating Kansas in the second round, and I've got Gonzaga coming out of the top part of this Midwest bracket. I think this is the year for Gonzaga, Micah. They're always like, the hype is always there going into the tournament for them lately.
Yeah, expectations are relatively low
this year.
That's
not where they belong. They belong as a dark horse Cinderella candidate. They're the original Cinderella. So, I mean, you're not really a Cinderella at five, but I guess you are if you beat off Kansas and possibly Purdue. So that's what I've got them doing.
You want them to beat off Kansas?
Oh, no, I didn't say that, did I? Well, I'd like them to defeat. How about that, Micah? Better wordage?
I'll go with that. Yeah. No, I mean, you can. I don't care what you do to them.
You're going to let me beat them off?
As long as Kansas loses, you can beat them off all you want.
That's the key here. I'm kind of scared Samford's going to beat Kansas. Not scared. I'm actually really rooting for it, but not brave enough to take Samford in the 13-4 matchup there.
Well, I am brave.
You're doing it.
Actually, well, I have them losing the first round.
Well, I think you're just the most petty. You're just petty enough is the difference. I'm petty. Not brave. Okay, good. Make sure everybody knows the difference. I got Oregon beating South Carolina next in that next
matchup. I like Oregon, too.
Yeah, they're good.
I also like Oregon to beat Creighton in round two.
Mm-mm. See, I got Creighton coming out of that region. Okay.
Okay.
So then you like Texas out of that region.
No, not in my bracket.
Not in your regular, analytics bracket?
Tennessee.
Okay.
I like Tennessee to beat Texas in the Rick Barnes Bowl.
The Rick Barnes Bowl.
And I like Tennessee over Oregon. And I like Tennessee over Purdue.
Fair enough. I don't know, man. Rick Barnes, his record in the tournament just never really quite gets there. We'll see.
It's not great.
I hope Texas gets past Colorado State. That's a big, I'll be very much cheering for that. So.
All right, moving to the West. This is North Carolina. You know, I like St. Mary's to beat Grand Canyon, to beat Alabama, to beat North Carolina, to beat Arizona.
So I've got on St. Mary's getting deep too, and there is a lot of buzz with Grand Canyon. So me and you could be pie-faced out of the West here pretty goddamn quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of people are saying Grand Canyon's big time. So we're hitching our horses to a very dangerous proposition in St. Mary's, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a brave boy. I've also got Charleston beating Alabama. So how about them? Them apples.
Okay. Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. On the bottom half, I like New Mexico over Clemson. That seems to be a pretty hot pick. I like Baylor to advance there. Same. I like Nevada over Dayton. That's a big pick at the moment. Basically everywhere I look, Arizona will beat Nevada, though, is my opinion. And then I like Arizona to beat Baylor, where they will eventually fall to St. Mary's.
So I've got Baylor losing to New Mexico, and I've got, maybe I should switch this around. This is where I need to kind of work on my bracket and firm it up here. Because if I'm going to get rid of Arizona, I need to make this thing make sense now. I can't have New Mexico going through all the way out into the Final Four. I don't think that's a very good idea, although it might be. Who knows? So your Final Four then, and to recap what you've got so far here.
So I have a 1, a 2, a 4, and a 5. So Houston and Tennessee, and then Auburn and St. Mary's. I like Auburn to win that one, and Houston to win, and then Houston to beat Auburn.
Auburn's a fun pick,
for the championship.
Man. Bruce Pearl be just insufferable for, you know, a month and a half, but, you know, it could be fun.
He wins some games in the tournament. He's got a long history of winning games in the tournament.
He certainly does. He's great for college basketball. He's just a good character, I think. So I've got Creighton, a 3 seed. I got Houston, 1. I got UConn, 1. And then I got a TBD coming out of the West. I still got to firm that up. But got a little bit of time, so I'm still thinking it through. Not bad, Micah.
Well, there we go. I mean, I'm hyped. It should be great. I'm excited to see Ernie and Kenny and Chuck. And
they
are
the greatest, period. Doesn't even matter what sport.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's NBA, college basketball, whatever it is. They are the cream of the crop. So they're going to be on the TV all day, every day for me for the next couple of weeks. I'm pretty excited.
Greg Gumbel is not hosting this year. He has an illness or an illness in the family or something. Do you know how old Greg Gumbel is?
I heard someone said it recently, like in a broadcast earlier this week. I believe it's in, mid-60s?
He's 77.
That's insane. That is absolutely nuts.
It's like Donald Trump, Joe Biden age. He's way up there.
I mean, I thought he was old at like 67. If he's 77,
you know what they say?
Crazy. What do they say?
No, I'm not going to say it. We won't get into it. But he looks good.
Okay.
We're going to let that go. Okay. But he'll be missed. There's sort of an anonymous white guy that'll be hosting for CBS. But hopefully that means we get more Ernie.
Yep. I like it.
And yeah, man, it's hoops. It's the best. I've worked with a bunch of degenerates, and I would anticipate they're going to have bets going on every game.
Mm-hmm,
The thing that I see a lot of on Instagram is the underdog strategy, where you bet money line on all 32 underdogs.
Oh, that seems pretty promising.
Last year, it's won the last 2 years. Last year it won with only 4 wins, but that was because the number 1 seed lost, a number 2 seed lost.
So it paid out big at money line odds, yeah.
But it'd be fun, you know, it would be fun to kind of just ride all the underdogs. I think it'd be a good sweat if you're trying to bet it that way.
What do you think, Micah? We recap this bad boy early next week. We get a we promise a future episode here.
Definitely. Yeah. We will be back next
week.
Let's
make a commitment to the audience. We will come back and give you our trash round two takes here. And
where's the golf?
I want to check in on
this
the,
week.
I feel like it's an off week, like the Valero or something, PGA.
Yeah, it's normally a slow one before the Masters.
Yeah, it's a Valspar. Not the best tournament, but yeah. Oh, they do Valspar, then Houston, Valero, then the Masters. So we got a couple of weeks to the Masters. Basically, they hold off on the Masters until the end of March Madness, and then it just springboards into the greatest golf weekend of all time, or every single year. So good shit happening here. Good God.
I love it so
$18
much.
$18 million purse this year. That sounds awfully nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You have my attention.
Yeah.
The other thing that has my attention is the NFL is considering a rule change to fundamentally change the kickoff, where they're considering the XFL's kickoff rules,
which is,
let's see if I can explain it. The kicker would kick from the 35-yard line as usual, but the other 10 players would line up at the receiving team's 40. At least 9 members of the return team would have to line up in a setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard line. Up
this
to 2 returners
dumb.
Can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Other than the kicker and the returners, no one else can move until the ball hits the ground or a player fields it inside the landing zone. Touchbacks would be marked at the 35-yard line, and no fair catches would be allowed.
That sounds terrible to me. Too much.
In the event of an onside kick, the team would have to inform officials and then would be allowed to use the NFL's traditional formation. No surprise onside kicks would be allowed.
Yeah, it sounds complicated and lame, but okay. I do see the need for it. I mean, it's like the most dangerous play in sports, and I don't know. I still think it's a big part of the game, and I don't want them to do anything, but whatever.
It seems weird,
yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Also, interestingly, the XFL is no longer doing this kickoff structure next year now that they've merged with the USFL.
Okay.
So,
is that the one The Rock is promoting on my radio?
Yes, The Rock. Yes, The Rock is everywhere.
Yeah, he's big into spring football. I've been hearing him hype the shit out of it.
Well, that's it's good to hear. It's always nice to hear from The Rock.
Yeah, he's got good opinions.
His opinions are okay. He's always entertaining, though.
For sure.
Man, that's pretty much it. I don't know. You got anything else that's burning on you?
Nah.
I went and saw Wemby play the other day.
Tell me about your experience. So you went and saw the Spurs play the Nuggets, right?
Yeah, Pierce and I went and saw the Nuggets and Spurs. And Wemby is a big dude. And he plays the game from angles we've never seen.
Yep.
The first play of the game, the Nuggets throw the ball in to the big fella. And he's got Wemby guarding about the free throw line.
To the Joker, yeah,
and
yeah.
Jokic takes like 3 dribbles and just immediately backs Wemby like right to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you better, you know, get your weight up kind of deal. And then he goes to take a shot and Wemby blocks it away. And I was like, oh, this is going to be humiliating for Wemby. And then all of a sudden he doesn't go for the pump fake. He blocks the shot, gets the rebound. And the Spurs are off and running. The Spurs are terrible.
Ugh, they're awful.
They got cooked. They got absolutely cooked by some white guy from Denver who I think played at Kansas.
Yeah.
They stink.
Brown.
Guys, 2 through 12 or 2 through 15 are absolute garbage. But Wemby's good.
They're definitely better than they used to be. They were really shitty there to start the season.
They're really bad, man.
Yeah.
They're really bad.
They got a ways to go.
They do. But it was fun. And then the other big news, the Roadhouse movie comes out, I believe, on Thursday.
Who's starring in the Roadhouse
movie? Conor McGregor is the enemy. As the star is, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
When you say enemy, you mean the villain. That's what Conor
McGregor is. Jake Gyllenhaal, yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, I've seen him all jacked up. He looks pretty strong in it.
He plays an ex-UFC fighter, apparently.
And a bar bouncer? Isn't that the premise of the whole show?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess Swayze is a little too old to do it again. Yeah.
Swayze's dead, Brad.
Oh,
how
no.
dare you? He died of cancer many years ago.
That was a big misstep.
May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Top Chef starts tonight. So, you know, America's fifth greatest sport comes
excellent
back.
Competition.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah, we should probably talk about that next week.
They're in Wisconsin.
All right.
Cheese week.
Cheese season.
Cheese year.
All right. Yeah. That's it.
Let me
Let's
play
get
you
out of here.
It was a good one,
thanks
Micah.
Thanks for listening. Share it with a friend. We'll be back next week. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.